Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of episode 91, I think. Yeah, because last week... You're making some noise over there, Chris.
It's really hot.
You just, I mean, we've turned off for 15 minutes, and then you wait until we start recording to start making a lot of brackets.
I just realised the heater's underneath me. Sorry.
Yeah, you could move it away. But it is boiling in here, isn't it?
Just go skins.
This is a great start to a podcast. Yes, this is part two. As you know, if you listen to part one, we've already been drinking...
Should I just turn it off?
He's moving a radio.
Well, I'm sorting out the feng shui in the bar.
I'm joined by Chris Glasson and Stu Whiffin.
Hello.
Hi.
This is the intro bit, so you guys aren't meant to talk, but as you have, let's, instead of making speech development the sponsors, let's make a Redshift Rebels
sponsored
the sponsors
by
this week.
So
give me some
Rebels.
Information on Redshift Rebels. Rebels.
Redshift Rebels is run by myself, Christopher Glass, and Stuart Whiffen.
Hello.
We don't generally advertise, although this is kind of what we're doing.
Yeah,
instead, we try and produce and promote new artists
and events.
So, yes, we do different events, such as the one with Mr. Scroobius Pip, We're Lizards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running low on all our stocks. I think we're going to be releasing a new.
A top thing to mention is what you sell.
Snapbacks, t-shirts, sweaters,
beanies. Yeah, it's nice stuff, and like
it's great stuff. For years, all the truckers.
Yeah,
I like. We had a little series of specific.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the truckers I wore and things like that.
Yeah, we did that for the Saturn Lizard Lounge, didn't we?
We did. Huh? We did the Lizard Lounge one.
Mm. And quite recent, which is quite topical as well. Is the last End of Shikari single was called Redshift.
Yeah.
Which
Shikari and Rao is a former podcast guest and a former DJ at We Are Lizards.
Yeah,
or Rao and
we've had him for other shows.
A couple of names came down.
It was I can't remember the drummer's name.
Yeah, I just drew a blank. Is Lord something on Twitter?
He's incredible. He was like Bez. I've never seen anyone so excited.
Oh, I love him.
And Rao was DJing, wasn't he? And he was literally just bezzing out. He was just loving it. And,
yes.
But a good DJ as well.
Yeah,
he was. Really good DJ. And that night, we gave him a Redshift cap and got a nice little photo of him wearing it. And, sorry, Chris has just got his beard stuck in his watch strap.
That was really painful.
We thought this one would be more professional than the 5 hours.
And if anyone's interested in Chrissy's beard or pubic hair, I have a box of it.
Oh, yes.
I've got a bag of it. And in fact, hang on, let's get the advert out of the way and then we'll start the podcast properly. So where can they buy Redshift stuff?
My pubes or our hats? Redshiftrebels.com.
Excellent. Well,
and what she was just saying is, yeah, we gave Rao a Redshift hat about 8-9 months ago.
And their new single is called Redshift.
Recently called
and they're
Redshift.
Doing a stadium tour, or they've just finished a stadium tour. Are with King Blues support.
That's right. That's
and they're now all over Europe. Again, just
weird
big love to them guys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
cool. Great DJ that round as well.
Let's have the theme music and a sponsor, and then we'll get into the podcast. So, yeah, here we are. That was that. Now we're into the podcast.
Yeah.
So, Chris, your pubes and beards.
Right. I'm going to pick up on this.
Okay.
I love that we've all had a drink now. Because in the first one, it was like, anyone been up to everything? We're like, well, no, I don't know. And now this one's right. Hang on. let me get in. Hang on, you.
What we need to do when we record these is we need to all come in at the same time because we have to, like, when we meet up, we're like, we can't talk because it's going to be a waste.
Yeah,
there was a big UFC last night, and I was like, mate, don't talk about it yet.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, okay,
like, wait until we run.
And maybe we should all, I mean, it's not a problem for me to show up pissed already, but you guys are going to have to really get your shit together.
Point, yeah,
yeah.
The point of these, I'm going to call these the drunk cast. It's just going to be the drunk cast every other month, the drunk cast.
Yeah,
with Chris and Stu.
Cool.
And then, yeah, we'll take it from there. But, yeah, so the last one, we're all based at Christmas, and Chris brought us both...
Gifts.
A Christmas present each.
Yep.
He then got too drunk to remember to give us the Christmas presents in the podcast.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I saved mine until Christmas Day.
Yeah, I knew you would, man. That's how you roll.
So I saved mine until Christmas Day. So Christmas morning, I live on my own. Yeah. I'm quite a sad, lonely man. So I wake up on Christmas morning, and the first thing, the only present I've got is from my dear friend Chris.
Right, man. I'm nice like
so
that.
I open it, and it's a bag of either his beard or pubes. Chris? Not
a 90% mix. I couldn't, well, no, I'd say 99% beard.
Yeah.
With a pube or two.
I don't live on my own. I have two young children and a wife.
No.
And Christmas is a very special time for us.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
And so, obviously, as you can imagine, when you've got two young children and when you come downstairs, their pile of presents are quite big and they're all excited because he's been... Yeah. Not Chris, Santa.
I mean, Chris had been, and they'd just recovered. He'd been at the end of December, they'd just recovered from Christmas.
They were still a little bit tired from when Chris left. And I had a very small, sort of little pile of presents like, from the kids and you know, the wife, mum and dad and whatnot, and one from Chris. And I just thought, and I remember on the night just thinking, when he got out of the car, I thought, oh, shit, he's bought us presents. And
I feel guilty.
And I thought, I haven't bought him anything. It didn't matter. I think, you know, he got his monetary value out of
your
my fridge.
Yeah.
So Christmas.
And I sorted the cab and pizza. So.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting $1. He was getting £10. That was
and
it.
You traded off your pubes for that.
There's some gifts you can't wrap.
And so, I opened that and Carol was like, what's that? And I was like, I'll show you later. And I was just thinking. The kids were like, what are you? I was like, nothing. Chris's pubes.
Oh man, I didn't realise that it would get that. I've ruined Christmas twice now. I can't tell you the other time I ruined someone's Christmas. It's bad. It's really bad.
It was a beautiful gift though.
Yeah, thanks.
And I don't know if it was an influence, but when we did the introduction video, I cut my beard off and I bagged it and eBayed it.
Yeah.
And the beard sold for more than the video cost.
Yeah.
Which was one of the best bits of label marketing ever. I'm regularly asked to do seminars and stuff about running a label and low budget advertising. The two best things I did on the Distraction Pieces album release was did a video for £100, then sold my beard for £250. And I had a game made that's on my website still called
Bash It. Yeah, it's fun that.
Where you just bash it. And I paid the guy in Lego. You can't present that at a seminar. But they're not valid business structures or ideas.
I can't imagine there'd be the same amount of demand for Chris's pubes.
I completely say that is the right course for most business, but we won't go pour on about that today. What was that about my pubes?
I just don't think there'd be a similar sort of demand on eBay for your pubes as Pips.
I don't know.
I binned it about 2 days ago.
Why?
Of the beard.
Why?
Because I had it on the side of my bed for ages.
That is amazing.
That's not weird.
Beside my bed. Because that's where I put it. It's Christmas fucking morning.
Oh.
But it's a box of pubes. Put them in the bin.
What's that?
I didn't want to throw it away because it's a gift.
It's not ungrateful getting
it. And then I suddenly thought, imagine if I bring a young lady home or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you
know, what's in the box?
Oh, that's my best mate's beard and all pubes.
Did you get a box? Because mine was a clear plastic bag.
No, but in a box.
Oh, in a box.
I got a box on my 40th as well.
I forgot about that.
On my 40th, I had two presents that I didn't open on the night. And one was from my mate Jim, who bought me the original 7-inch of the Ronettes Be My Baby.
That is a beautiful gift.
And it's amazing. My favourite ever record. And, you know, and I thought, what a lovely gift. And I also had another gift from Chris, which was a stone. well, it was more, I guess, a kind of rock, really, wasn't it?
It was a rock. It was bigger than a stone, mate.
Just seeing a rock and thinking, bit weird, and like putting the lid back on it and just thinking, prick, and like, and not really concerning myself
You've
with
got
it.
To put attention into gifts from Chris.
Mm. However, about 6 months later, I was having a tidy up, and I thought, that's that rock. And so this time I opened it and emptied the rock into my hand. And on the underside of the rock, it just had written, I fucking hate you.
See, Chris is a classic gift giver because on my 21st, he gave me 21 gifts, a box with 21 gifts in a card that listed them. And paper had to fold out of the card because it was too hard to write. Gifts included some ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them were just a bit a bit damp because the ice cream's obviously melted. An actual pair of your mum's underwear. Ah, oh, that's wrong. There was a lot of stuff.
Did you steal them from your mum?
Oh, she left them in my room.
Say no more.
Say getting a bit dark now.
But the best one was a clock that keeps you see on shopping channels, you get TV clocks that keep perfect time and all that, before iPhones and whatnot, and this clock that keeps perfect time, and I opened it and looked at it, and it's this clock, and it's scribbled out every number and just written hammer time. Keeps perfect time. It is always hammer time.
It's always hammer time.
So Chris is a legendary gift giver in that way.
It's just a coincidence that rock I picked up had "I fucking hate you" on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't write that on there. I wouldn't write that on there.
No, I didn't think you would. I mean, that's what I told the kids. He would. He's not horrible.
Chris has got a lot of rocks, so he happened to choose that one. When we had our little break, we had a few more drinks, and we had a bit of a chat, and we were talking about fitness and exercise. And again, this might be a bit boring and cliche to talk about fitness stuff, but you, Stu, have been doing a load more fitness recently and getting back in shape, because you used to box a lot and do a bit of kickboxing and things like that.
Muay Thai, it was really weird. Like I've kind of changed my day job, and since doing it about 8 months ago, I used to go to my old office, and then 10 o'clock I'd go and have a boxing lesson, and that kept me in pretty decent shape. And I looked like I was going to be fighting last November with one of the guys that has DJed for us a few times, a nice guy called Matt Emotion.
Wicked DJ.
And
the Acid Bros.
Yeah, and Matt was a big fella, and he got injured sparring, and the fight got postponed, in which time I took this new job on and couldn't dedicate that much time to train him. But anyway,
this is really boring. Chris, have you been doing I'm kidding, no, go on, continue.
So anyway, right, tricks.
Sorry, go on, Ben.
So I speak to Matt the other day. And because it was going to be weird fighting one of your mates, but you know, he was going to do it for charity and blah blah blah. And
I went, that's it. Because originally, when you signed up, you weren't sure who you were going to fight, and then it turned out to be a mate, and that kind of lost a bit of motivation. It felt like, because it was like, all right, originally you were a bit panicked of who am I going to get matched up with.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you suddenly, like, oh, it's
at 42, you just think, am I going to get put in the ring with like some 20-year-old that's had like sort of 5 fights and you know, he's ripped and he's going to, you know, smash me up. Yeah. And
we didn't get paired up though, mate,
No, we didn't, Chris. and yeah, but you'd obviously done a bit of weight, obviously, with your pubes. But yeah, so I spoke to Matt the other day, and I said, so what you've been up to, blah, blah, blah. And he said that he joined Slimming World and had lost 5 stone in like a few months. And I was like, fucking hell, man, that's a serious weight loss. And
it's a lot.
It is. And so I thought, right, I'm going to have a look at this, see if I can shed a bit of weight as well. And so since I joined Slimming World last week and dropped 16 pounds in a week, which was pretty mad.
No, it's crazy, man.
And
you still look fat now. So
thanks, man.
I haven't seen you see last week.
And so
it's surprising when you hear about things like, it's surprising when it actually, you go there and it actually works. It's not surprising that the only over a 40-year-old is the one that's brought up Slimming World.
oh, man, it is weird. Like, going around like a social club on your own and just going, all right, and then just joining a queue of people and just getting...
To weigh yourself.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, but I thought, do you know what? Let's just see what it's about. If Matt can do it and he's done all of that, then, like, you know, I want to lose a couple of stone and I've done over a stone in the first week, so that's like, it's cool. And it's kind of healthy eating... Laid off the booze a bit until tonight, and it's just like it's cured insomnia. Like, I'm sleeping like a baby, and I'm waking up nice and early and running every morning.
I'm a big believer. I generally think that a bit of physical health is better for everything, for mental health, for everything else.
Definitely.
And my old man's lost a ton of weight recently. He's been going to the gym like 3-4 times a week, or 5 times a week, I think. And stuff like that's amazing. I've started doing it, and this is going to be the first time I mentioned it, and I know that, like, you've met Sam. Mm-hmm. He's going to be listening to this, because
he's a dude.
I've mocked him for years because he does CrossFit, and CrossFitters are like vegans, and vegans they're both brilliant they're perfectly fine and acceptable, but there's that tendency to go on and on and on about it. I think both, I think veganism can be really good for your health-wise. We're going to talk about Nate Diaz later.
Yeah.
Vegan. But at the beginning of the year, Sam was like, look, I built a little gym outside my new house. And Sam was like, look, he's a CrossFit trainer. He's about to launch a big online thing, which I will tell you more about it because it's tried and tested and I rate it. But he was like, I want to just start setting some programs for you. And I was like, fuck off, CrossFit wanker. I can't think of being a bit of a dick about it. And from the beginning of January, his system is 3 days on, 1 day off. And he set me exercises, 3 days on, 1 day off. And we've tweaked it a bit if necessary, but I've not got bored. I've not stopped yet. And the fact is, the kind of idea and point of it is it's constant variation of functional movements and action. And I'm a bit drunk, so I'm not doing it good justice, but it's genuinely amazing. The first month and a half, I didn't repeat any exercise once. And it's so much easier to stay motivated if you're doing the different exercises every morning and working different body parts. And the kettlebells, again, I don't want to sound all Joe Rogan, but getting into kettlebells has blown me away because, again, where I used to work out with free weights and that, on free weights, it feels you do a rep and you're working specific muscle. A one muscle and you can feel it, but that's not functional. And with kettlebells, you feel a whole muscle group and the exercises that Sam sets me, Sam Marshall. And it's just amazing. You feel whole muscle groups and it's cardio at the same time as it is muscle building and toning. And as Stu said, just getting a bit healthier and eating a bit healthier and being aware of that. I joked about veganism. I argue online quite a bit with a specific vegan who listens to the podcast all the time, and she's delightful, it's fine.
Was she the one that came on the live one?
On the live podcast, yeah. And we had some discussion there. But again, it's fine, but I'm a genuine advocate. I think genuinely everyone should eat less meat, and that's part of my kind of life. And speaking to Dal Vince on the Ecotricity episode of the podcast, it was great discussing with him because he's a vegan. But one of the things he just said was, look, it's not even about you have to all become veganism, but you should agree that everyone should just cut down on meat. Mm. And as a society and as a world, we eat far too much meat and things like that.
The meat production, I saw a fact the other day. Again, I haven't spent any time looking into it. But the fact was that, we're all so concerned and tied up about motors and how much CO2 that's producing.
Yeah.
Actually, the bigger producer of that in the global economy is our dedication to eating chicken and meat.
Yeah.
Straight up. It's
more. Tell you what, man, I'm going to drop some fucked up knowledge on you right now. Okay. The Joe Rogan podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience, he had an episode with the two people who made Cowspiracy.
Okay.
And it's a documentary that's on Netflix, and a lot of vegans always say to me, check Cowspiracy out. And I watched it, and I was 50-50, because a lot of the facts just don't seem backed up.
Right.
There are attacks on Greenpeace. I know I've had Greenpeace on, but I'm not biased. There's a lot of Greenpeace stuff I don't rate. There's a lot I do rate,
some but silly things.
A lot of the stuff on the Cowspiracy thing, it just wasn't backed up. It was a very one-sided argument. Okay. So they've got backers here or backers there. Mm-hmm. It seemed a bit silly. But the Cowspiracy guys on the Rogan podcast, it was great, because Rogan gets a lot of stick because people think he's anti-everything. They think he hates transgender, and he doesn't. He's a very liberal and open-minded guy. But it was great because they started to talk certain things, saying that the solution is everyone becomes vegan. And Rogan quite rightfully was like, right, that's not going to happen.
Hmm.
So let's forget that for the moment. Let's talk more openly and go. And it was fascinating because the thing that they said, the guys who made Cowspiracy, which is a pro-vegan thing, anti-meat eating, they made me realise that for animals in general, for wildlife and the general a life of numerous different species, it's better to eat factory farmed meat than free range meat.
Okay.
Because the fact is, free range meat is better for that individual animal, but it's free range farming and that kind of farming that is fucking everything up, because they have to have this certain amount of land, which takes away from all this natural habitat, kills off whole species of animals that would have been living there, because it's something like each cow has to have X amount of land to graze on, which then, you know, is taken away from this and causing this, and as you said, all the CO2 and all these other things. And that was a fascinating thing to hear, man, because the fact is, the vegans who make a Cowspiracy, and again, I'm not against a veganism at all, but it was really fascinating to me to hear that the ideal situation for the world is everyone becomes vegan. And I can kind of get that. That may be the case. I don't personally believe in it from my own beliefs, but I get that. But their kind of argument was, the next best solution is we cut down on meat, and kind of eat factory farmed rather than than free range. And that
That seems you wouldn't expect them to advocate factory farmed meat.
And again, it's as I said, it's because of that the amount of land and that's used for free range that it's fucked up because it's a weird trade off. It's what's right for that individual. The fact is, a factory farmed animal, that individual animal has had a worse life.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're killing off acres and acres of wildlife and I ran out of space on the memory card for a second there. We basically came up with the whole solution for the ecosystem. Yeah. We're back talking now. Apologies.
Back in the room.
You were talking about Rogan.
Yeah.
And obviously free range and whatnot. He's keen hunter, isn't he?
Huntsman,
and yes. He likes going out of his crossbow, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And,
I've got to say just quickly as well, a couple of weeks ago, Rogan with Brendan Schaub and Brian Callan, they do a lot of fight companions and that. They had one that was just them three talking. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It just cracked me up. There was a point where Callan was saying about he'd like to get a tattoo, and he's never had a tattoo, and he was saying he's going to get Medusa. And then he said, have you... Like, do you know who Medusa is? And just the shit that they gave him for asking if they know who... It's like, yeah, I'm familiar with that hugely popular social reference of Medusa, but honestly, tears of laughter. But yeah, continue.
No, and like, I know he hunts a lot of elk, doesn't
he?
As does Chad Mendes as well, I believe.
Yeah.
And, I just think... I don't have an issue with... If people are going to... That eat meat, want to hunt in the wild...
Yeah.
And eat what they kill.
It's where Rogan gets confused by people. Or he doesn't get confused. People get confused about Rogan is because he'll post about hunting. They think he's anti-vegans or whatever else. But he will hunt. He can hunt 3 or 4 animals and freeze and store the meat and feed his whole family for the bulk of the year.
Yeah, he's not twisting an elephant's cat back, is he?
That's moving out of the factory farming and the industry. Because the thing that's bad for the animals is this meat industry that we've got.
Yeah.
If everyone
only hunted what they needed to eat, then the ecosystem would balance. Because that's the point of an ecosystem. You have your predators, they eat them.
The consumerism now says to us that you can have meat, what type of meat, whenever you want. I can walk into a shop and I'll be like, right, what kind of meat do I want now? Not what season and what location, geographical location.
It's crazy.
I'm going to have whatever meat I want. And that's ridiculous. We can't have that culture. And people have given the argument to me before. I've made this argument before that, you know, we've got incisors. We are meat eaters. Yeah, we are. But we weren't eating meat every day.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to get back to like understanding what how we sync in with our environment.
That's how I think hunting can get misconstrued. I mean, these fucking retards that go and shoot fucking lions and leopards and shit like that, and just post pictures of them sitting next to them, and then fuck off and leave them there. That's
crazy. Again, it's such a misconception. The difference between hunting and eating and big game hunting or trophy hunting.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, I did, this is weird because it would have been at the beginning of the podcast, but you guys don't know. I did a thing where one of us...
I shot a panda last week.
I shot a panda. This whole outfit. It's panda skin. No, one of the regular sponsors of the podcast is Squarespace, who are a website you go to build your own website. And I did this contest where... People have built their website are using the discount code PIP can enter to get the sponsorship space, if that makes sense. So at the beginning of this podcast, we would have advertised the winner of that thing.
Yeah.
And the winner was a website called Skin and Bones, I think .info. I can't remember, it would have been said. But that's all about. They're just exposing and talking about the trophy hunting and the animals that aren't as easy a push. And this is going to sound like a weird thing, but I've always, the thing that's annoyed me about a lot of the cancer charities is breast cancer and testicular cancer are really easy to push and market, whereas colon cancer and pancreatic cancer have far higher death rates, but they're not as marketable.
Yeah.
So I don't get anywhere as much donation or funds. And that's what this website does. It talks about the animals that aren't rhinos and elephants. It talks about all these other animals and talks about all the problems with poaching and that kind of thing. So it's a huge difference between big game hunting and trophy hunting and people who hunt and eat everything that they catch. So it's kind of, but then anyway, we've kind of gone completely off topic. What we were talking about was exercise. we got on to talking about outside, about the thing that's exhausted me the most is BJJ. And when I've trained in that, that I've never felt anything that gets my arms as dead. And what I wanted to tell you guys about...
I thought just, that was BJ's.
And BJ's. Obviously, you mean Ben and Jerry's. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and just to warn people, it's not going to be MMA and BJJ for ages. We're going to get onto films. We're going to go to numerous other things. But coming up is Polaris Professional 3, which I think all three of us and Ian, my brother, should go to. When this comes out, it's the weekend. It's the Saturday after that. It's a BJJ contest, and it's the headline fight. It's in Poole, and the headline fight is Pal Harris, who's... a beast, a leglock beast.
Yeah,
got kicked out of the UFC.
Man, he's a dark dude. Crazy.
I don't think he's a dark dude. He's just a bit not there in the head.
I can't understand his situation
for ages because basically he got kicked out of the UFC because he had a few situations where he got people in submissions and held on too long. Now,
by saying that, to explain it a bit more, is obviously when in MMA, if you don't know anything about it, if you get in a lock or a choke, you can tap. By tapping your hand on the canvas or on anything, really.
And that's what professionals do. Again, the misconception of cage fighting is people brutalising each other.
Yeah.
They're professionals. If you're in a lock, you can't get out and you're going to...
At any point,
pass out or anything else. You tap, it's for your career.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get an injury. It's grown-ups.
And the minute you tap, your opponent should let go in an instant.
Yeah.
Like, and...
He didn't let go. But again, I think it's overhyped because people show it in slow motion and replays. And the fact is, it's big one in Brazil. It was one of the biggest events with huge, loud crowds. He literally held on for just over a second and a half. That's not a long time.
No,
not a long time. I agree. But again, what people also don't realise is the dude grew up in weird situations.
Yeah.
He ate pig swill. And so he grew up genuinely in the gutters. And the fact is, he had another fight where he was... pummeling a guy against a fence. He thought the fight had been stopped. He went and jumped on the cage to celebrate. Right. The ref had to go, the fight isn't over. I've not stopped it. And there was another fight where he was against Nate Marquardt and he got him in a leg lock. His leg slipped out. He turned to the ref to say, his leg was too slippery. I think he's greased up or something like that. And Nate knocked him out. Because again, you can't just in the middle of a fight just stop and have a discussion. So the fact is, I don't think he's malicious or dark or nasty. I think he's just not that sharp and not all there. But regardless of all that, my God, he's a beast. But he's against Gary Tonin, who is a leglock beast himself, who's won numerous Eddie Bravo invitationals and several other things. And there's tons of other really good things on the card. Jake Shields is on the card, I think. There's some great people on there. But the thing that I wanted to tell you guys about is the Eddie Bravo Invitational. And Eddie's a mate, and I love him. I trained with him briefly at 10th Planet last time I was out in LA. But the Eddie Bravo Invitational has recently gone on Fight Pass, and there's three events on there now, and I watched my first one. And again, I'm going to explain this because a lot of people don't know about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or the technicalities of it. A lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that got big, the Gracies, the Abu Dhabi contests, it's points-based. So if you advance a position... you get points. So if you go from half guard to full guard, so for people who don't know, if you get basically an advantageous position on the ground, it's not getting a submission or anything, but you've improved your dominance. And that can get a bit boring for people because people can point play. You're basically just, you're holding someone down and moving,
switch
you know, your head.
Switch
They brought in submission only, which Ameta Morris did amazingly, and I believe Polaris is submission only, but the problem with submission only is there's a time limit. If there isn't a submission, it's a draw.
Is this gi?
It's no gi, I believe. And the Eddie Bravo Invitational is no gi. And the gi is the cool little Karate Kid outfit that people wear when they're doing it, for people who don't know. But what has blown me away about Eddie Bravo Invitational is it's a submission only, but they really drive for the submissions, right? So you only get a bonus if you get the submission in actual time, or you only get paid. But the really cool bit, so say it's a 10-minute time limit. You're going at it. You're going for these submissions. And again, I watched on my first one, and I jumped off of my seat, as as you did for Connor, for a few bits. But the cool bit is if you get to the time limit, then they go to a death round. And the way sudden a death works, so there kind of has to be a winner. The way sudden death works is the first, so let's say fighter A and fighter B.
Mm-hmm.
So fighter A gets to choose his position. So he either
what?
Sits down and has their back.
What?
Or he has them essentially in an armbar.
Yeah.
So he's scissored across them. So then they start the round. If he gets a submission, he's won that and the time is clocked. Yeah. If the other guy gets out of that position, yeah, yeah. It's not even fully out, but out of either having their back or yeah. the armbar, then they get the point. It then goes to the other guy's turn. So fighter B then gets to choose his yeah. position, either the back or the tangled up yeah. for an armbar. So again, if they both get their submissions,
yeah.
they do that three times, and then it goes on times. So the person who submitted them the quickest in them three yeah. wins. Obviously, if you get out and then you get a submission, it's like a penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If your penalty is saved and then they score, then you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking electric. Eddie Bravo is inventing yeah. this on the Invitational.
That's clever.
And
clever
it makes stuff. It so exciting because it's that instant excitement. Yeah. And they originally only had, I think, Eddie Bravo Invitational 5 on Fight Pass. And now they've got 3 and 6 on there. And they're going to have the live one soon. And yeah,
that's a great way to finish.
For anyone who's into MMA, because a lot of people's argument with MMA is, I don't like the rolling around on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The more you understand it, yeah. both
the more exciting
the more exciting it is. Yeah. Like, some of the best fights can be when they're yeah, rolling around on the yeah. ground. And the Eddie Bravo Invitation was just so dope for that. And I love that system, that kind of that sudden death, that 10 minutes of go hell for leather. Because if you don't get the win in that 10 minutes, then I believe you don't get paid at all. I think you only get paid for every submission you get if you win. So the winner of the tournament gets like 20, 30 grand. But that's if they've got submissions all the way through.
Crikey.
So if you win on just timing and points, then you don't get money for that.
That's brilliant.
It's fucking great, yeah, man. Yeah. It's genuinely. It's gonna
raise people's games with submission as well, because I mean that's competition. Man. That's going to force people to.
And that's been the thing
learn.
For so long. Is BJJ is great, but you will get them occasional matches where it's point scoring
or
tactical. Mm. And if you're not really into it. Really knowledgeable, and I'm into it a decent amount, but still there'll be certain matches where I'm like, I don't really get it. They've just gone from half guard to full guard to half guard to electric chair, and but I love it.
Nice.
I think it's hugely exciting, and I wanted to explain that, because as soon as I watched that, I was like, damn, this guy is just he's nailed that. He's taken something that could be a boring and made it incredibly exciting.
His insight, I wouldn't have thought of doing that. And obviously someone like Eddie, who's even Eddie's commentary I occasionally listen to with Joe, and I love listening to Eddie.
That
he's pulled that out of the bag. It'd be great to see how that develops. Quick question on that: what are the injuries like? Have we seen any anything?
Low.
Yeah,
injuries in BJJ are low. A leg lock's got a lot of stick for a long time because there was a fear that they caused a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
It's a
but I mean specifically within the competition
none from what I've seen.
No, okay.
Because again, it's grown-ups, it's professionals. Mm. If you get in a lock and you can't get out, you tap.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's kind of exciting for me is the fact that they don't do it in a cage. Obviously, it's on mats. So if the fight's going about, it can get close to the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of exciting because they have to have a point where they go, right, stop. And the ref will stop them, move them
back
to the middle,
position
and
the same position yeah, yeah.
and look up on a camera and all this kind of shit. Mm. I love it. But in fact, I think all the previous EBIs, Eddie Bravo Invitationals, are on YouTube for free. So I'm not just
going to check them out.
I'm promoting Fight Pass here. But yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating. And it's, yeah.
And we're going to go and watch that. The other one?
Yeah, I think we should. Because Polaris, that's one of the biggest cards in BJJ history. To have Pal Harris, who's a BJJ legend, who then has been the one to transfer over to UFC with leg locks, and then in World Series of Fighting he was the champion, and then he got kicked out for holding a leg lock for too long.
Yeah.
But Gary Tonin has said is an absolute, he's been smashing it on Eddie Bravo and at the Gracies and all sorts. But yeah,
I think
it's beastly
for people.
I'm sorry if anyone's listening, but that's too boring. But I think we've kind of described even if you don't know about
exactly.
it, it's kind of engaging.
And I'll tell you what, right? If you're not into MMA, especially if you're, you know, one of the people that seem to think it's just this brutal, you know, thuggish, you know, because you will generally see in, you know, windows of pubs and off licenses and that, like, cage
with
something with the word cage and like loads of blood splattered on it and fire and whatnot. Just have a look at some, you know, fights online or fight pass is even better.
I mean, the go-to is Anderson Silva, isn't it? Yeah. Because he shows the beauty.
Watch Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, and if you want to just see two guys just really going at it as well, I would suggest watching Henan Burrell versus TJ Dillashaw 1.
Yeah. And watching the beauty of the skill and the footwork.
And watching the footwork and watching an underdog could just pull off something incredible. And I'm just trying to think of a fight.
I've got the best one. Very recent. McDonald's? Very recent.
Robbie and Rory.
Kimbo Slice.
See, that's the thing. That's what we need to mention. Kimbo v. Dada 5000 on Bellator is everything that the people who hate MMA think MMA yeah. is. It's two just brutes who don't actually have the skill.
Yeah.
Just slugging it out and being shameful. And I was discussing this on Facebook the other day with an ex of mine, Joe Braithwaite.
Who, yeah.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Oh, you both know. I posted about an MMA event and she was like, I just don't get it. It's violence. And we had an adult discussion about it. Yeah. We didn't agree, but that's absolutely fine. Again, I don't think anyone who doesn't want to watch it should have to. It's not a thing. But
you're
in
missing
my
it.
Mind, it's grown-ups. It's not just people are beating each other up. It's grown-ups who've chosen to put so much time and effort to get to the top level of their game. It's to then test that against
not even
else.
To get to the top level of that game. It's mixed martial arts. These are guys. These aren't, you know, I think there's a bit of a difference. They're not rough kids that have been... that have gone down a boxing club and have channeled it into boxing. These are people that are educated, articulate, that have chosen to learn probably karate or, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu,
Olympic athletes.
You know, college wrestlers that have then got to the top of their game in that specific art, which is an amazing achievement in itself, and to then... go and learn another three or four different martial arts to be able to put them all together and compete at that level. What you see if you watch UFC is, I think, just different league to what you will see in other organisations.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to have a break from MMA in a minute? Because I do want to get back to Conor and a few other things. But something that comes to mind there, on the discipline side, I've always said if I had kids, I would want them to learn some kind of martial art. Because I think the discipline is a huge thing. It's not a violence.
It really helped me.
A female, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu a fighter recently who had a t-shirt that caused a lot of controversy, but it was really fucking strong. I think she was a grappler and a BJJ girl, and her t-shirt said... And this is really harsh, and we'll talk about some podcasts that we've had in the past that discuss this kind of thing, so I'm not making light of anything. Mm-hmm. But her t-shirt said, rapists don't learn boxing, or they learn BJJ, or they learn grappling.
Right.
Rapists don't box, they grapple. And the point was that if you're a woman, learning grappling and Brazilian jiu-jitsu is... an amazing tool and skill because the
great
fact
way
is
to defend.
It's great to go to these kickboxing class or boxing classes, but and again this isn't sexist at all, the a genetic difference between men and women means that if a man is punching a woman, there's a lot of percentage of the time the man is going to win, whereas in grappling, the thing that made a UFC bigger, a UFC one, a guy called Royce Gracie came in, who was smaller than everyone else, and he demonstrated that through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, through getting people on the ground, regardless of size and strength, he could beat everyone, and he won. He beat people twice his size, and so on and so forth. And again, I really need to stress that it's not making light of anything, and I found it to be a powerful t-shirt. I understand why people were shocked or offended, but as a woman choosing to wear it, I thought that was amazing, because it really summed up. It's like, right, that's true. If you're going to teach your... have your daughter... I learned something. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and grappling, that's a great choice, man, because it really is a leveller of size and strength.
A different one, which is completely different to that, just quickly while we're talking about martial arts, is one I studied.
Both my daughters do Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would never do anything that I thought might, you know, cause any kind of physical damage to my kids. Mm. So I'd never dream of it, but I think it's fantastic that they're learning that discipline.
Yeah.
And in regards, just to go back to what you said about a man and a woman, you know, that the man will always have superior strength. I boxed my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is currently the British champ, Nina Hughes. And and she offered to give us some boxing sort of lessons and whatnot. And I thought, she's tiny, you know, and I'm 6'3", sort of 15 stone, and I just thought, right, okay, I'll go easy on her. And didn't lay a punch on her.
Yeah.
Any time I thought about doing anything, she hit me 5 times and it disappeared. Amazing. And
that's impressive.
It is.
Completely. I love that. I mean, let's get back to MMA in a bit. First, Stu, can you pass me some Pepsi? Because I've only got gin now in my glass.
Yeah, mate.
I'm drinking gin tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
So tough.
Should we break down what's going on? We've got.
Let's break down the drinks. So your dog's just walked in, for starters. As you said that, your dog just walked in. All right, Zav.
We're not drinking, Zav.
All right. So I've got gin.
Kick him out, Chris.
Yeah. What's the dog?
Yeah.
Not me. So Chris is the only manly one on beer. And what's that beer called?
Zuba.
I mean, it's the cheapest beer you could imagine. I've gone for the gin because a mate of mine recently, Zav, a bee, has been raving about the gin. I like playing with the
Seth,
dog.
Out.
Go on, the dog's going to go.
Thank you, sweetie.
This is a lull in the podcast.
Yeah, it's not exactly podcast gold, is it?
Sorry. And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Bacardi and Diet Coke.
Good choice, because we're trying to be healthy and Chris is just a savage. He don't give a shit.
I'm having a
Goldschlag.
Having a month off.
Yep, that's good. Anyway, let's talk about films. We've bent everyone's ear about MMA for a bit. Since the previous gathering of us, I know you've not watched too much, Stu, but
no.
Star Wars and Deadpool have come out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is huge event.
Yeah.
Star Wars, I held off on Star Wars for a long time.
Yeah, you did,
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wasn't a let down. I was a bit shocked at how much love it got, considering it was the previous films.
It repeated beats.
And again, I love that. I'm not against that. I've said before, like my brother, he can't watch any of the new Avengers and superhero films, because basically each Iron Man is a remake of Iron Man, each Avengers is a remake of Avengers. I love that shit because it's remaking a film I love
exactly
in a slightly different way, and that's why I love Star Wars. But it did still surprise me because I was like, damn, people are going mental about this. They've literally built a bigger Death Star.
Do you know
to
what
blow
surprised
up
me?
Another planet. You know, and the way they're going to stop it, spoiler alert, is to fly in and plant a bomb on a really intricate part. It's like, this is just the first three Star Wars.
I thought it was amazing.
What surprised me was that normally when I see that, I don't like it. I get a bit salty. And I actually... I do get a bit salty about movies. And I saw it coming. I mean, it hadn't been 3 minutes in and I was smelling a rat on the sort of beats. And by beats, it means, you know, how... Like, the sort of themes that a movie follows. And that was happening. And at first I thought it was going to annoy me. And yet I got, like, 15 minutes in and other things happened and the humour... And how it was shot
so
and the
many
story.
Of the beats, itself, yeah, it as was. Well, the whole I'm your father.
Yeah, yeah. It was really similar. Like it didn't bother me. Like I came out and I went, I did a fist pump. I was like, that was awesome. I can't believe. And I'm not even bothered
it's
about the copycat.
Made me regret holding off on it. Because the only reason it bothered me a little bit was how much love it had got, considering that. If I'd watched it just on the first week, I would have been, I don't give a shit. That's amazing. And generally, I went in a bit sceptical. I like Star Wars. I think everyone should watch them because I think they're good films. I don't think they're the best films ever. I don't agree when they're the top of everything. I think they're good films.
I think
it annoys me either way. If people are saying they're the best films ever, it annoys me. If people are saying, oh, it's in Star Wars, it's like, why?
I think it's also very relative to... I think me and you can't, Pip, appreciate like how amazing that was when Star Wars came out in the 70s.
Yeah. I went to...
different...
My parents took me to Leicester Square to see Star Wars.
Well, she's 17, 18. Why are you going to the cinema at 70s with your parents?
And so when did it come out? 78?
76 was the first one, I think.
No, it weren't. I was born in 73, so...
Okay.
But yeah,
78.
Chris
proper reached for his laptop then to look it up and then couldn't be bothered. That's the view that he reached and went, that's a couple of steps away from that shit.
I don't think they're the greatest films ever made, but I think they're amazing. Cracking. I think they're absolutely brilliant.
The fact is he was aware that he ripped off a load of, is it Akira a Kurosawa films. So the argument was there were nuances in there that maybe George Lucas was aware were in there originally. So it, you know, there's that thing of he kind of maybe they were better than anyone. And again, it's famous that they were better than anyone knew at the time. They made them thinking this is going to be some B movie shit.
Yeah.
Then they got huge. So the argument I'd heard was, there's probably nuances in there they didn't realise at the time that aren't going to be in the new ones because of this. And I kind of agree with that, but still, I loved it.
I saw it twice. I went and watched it, and then I thought, I want to see what the fuss is 3D. And I went back and watched it a few weeks back in 3D.
Enjoy it. I like a bit of 3D.
It's
in a good screen and done well. I'm not against it. I think the anti-3D thing is just a bit
silly. I'm pretty indifferent, and I thought it was brilliant in 3D. I thought it delivered on everything I wanted and everything I expected. It was, I thought the new cast,
they were great. They were
brilliant. And
really good. Engaging.
They smashed it.
And the old cast, it was the nostalgia thing. It was sweet. It was like, it was so good. And, you know, never thought I'd see Harrison Ford in a Star Wars film again.
So I went in there sceptical as fuck, and as soon as the bit started to scroll back, I literally had hairs standing
up. Totally.
And most people haven't got
hairs. And do you know what? I took the kids, and it blew their minds as well, and I just think, how relevant is that to their life? It's, you know, everybody...
Oh, my goddaughter, like Amy and that, took Lola and that along, and she's obsessed, and we think has got a little... crush on Luke Skywalker.
Brilliant.
And it's amazing. It's like, that's such a long time ago, and it's such a buzzing thing that
I thought that was so good that they didn't, so spoiler alert I guess, save that till the end.
Yeah.
And like and it was baller, just wasn't it? And it it was just amazing when
it's funny you mentioned going twice, because the other film I want to talk about, which I don't think you've seen but I know you have, is the first film I kind of ever remember going to see twice. I'm sure I've seen other things twice, but
Flubber.
Deadpool. But Deadpool. I went on opening night at midnight, so at 5 past midnight, in fact, at my local cinema, the Basildon Empire. Yeah. It's my favourite cinema.
I thought you might have premier tickets. I didn't.
I wanted to hook that up, but I didn't. But I went to that, and I had to go again at a later date in a quiet screening, because it blew me away.
Oh, it was so good.
It was fucking perfect.
It was so good.
Have you caught it, Stuart?
I haven't. I was saying to Mrs. the other day, like, really want to see it.
It's so well done. From the start, when they're doing the credits at the beginning and they don't list anyone's name, they just
rip into people.
Insulting descriptions of them. And it's just amazing. And I thought from start to finish, it just... fucking killed
him. Yeah, man. I mean, you got into Deadpool and you started reading him, but not like back in the day.
Not back in the day. I'd say four or five years ago.
Yeah, man. And that was good, because I couldn't even remember shit. Like, I hadn't been reading about him for ages.
I got into the Deadpool collections, which you can get, the Deadpool classics, and then I got really Deadpool and Cable.
Cable, which again,
it's exciting that Cable's are going to be in the next one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, I thought they nailed it. I thought Ryan Reynolds was fucking perfect and almost... as gorgeous as Channing Tatum in Magic Mike.
Are we going down this road?
No, but Jen, how good were them sex scenes? This is going to sound odd to Chris, because Stu hasn't seen it, but they were hilarious. That's comedy.
They were
wonderful. But in general, what an amazing
The humour. I mean, like, Marvel movies have... They have learned...
Ed Skrein, I'm going to have him on the podcast. Ed Skrein is amazing.
Oh, shit. I'd like to say about Ed Skrein, actually.
He's a beast. He's killing it at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. He was in Game of Thrones. I fucking loved his character in Game of Thrones. I was gutted when they switched out, but he did that because of, you know, other roles that I think he picked up and stuff.
I went to a set of Game of Thrones 2 weekends ago.
What?
I went to Reykjavik. Went out to the mountains where they filmed it,
Oh, it didn't ask for your laugh, sorry.
Did you do it? Was you laughing? Live action roleplay?
Everyone's not losing their shit, but I didn't really have the balls to go, never seen Game of Thrones.
I've been into it. In December, I started watching it, and I've almost finished series 5 now. But I rate it. I went into it super skeptical.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. When I was trying to sell it to you.
The first 4 or 5 episodes, I was like, fuck this bullshit. End of the first series or second series, I was like... mate, the fact that they can juggle so many storylines is mind-blowing.
Yeah,
so they will have episodes where who you would think is the main character, like whichever Stark happens to be alive at the time, they'll have episodes he isn't in it at all.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's mind-blowing. But,
Deadpool.
Chris, Deadpool, so, it's amazing and it's perfect.
Marvel have almost hit the money now. What your brother was saying about them carbon copying, I kind of get that. But, like, you, I ain't never going to stop watching them. And I think it's that... They're, because they're funny as hell. And Deadpool is the epitome of them nailing the humour. And because they've allowed to do it R-rated, or 18, whatever you want to call it,
I mean,
they don't hold back on the gags.
I mean, all hail Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it opened the doors. Guardians was the one that came out and just did stuff they wanted to do it in a weird way.
Yeah, I think
they opened the door for
I think they've perfected it. I think there's elements in the DNA of Marvel films going right back to Iron Man that is why it's as it is now. The plot was awesome. Ryan Reynolds, the whole cast, head screen.
I mean,
awesome.
The plot was simple as fuck, but it's brilliant. The jumping.
It's more the screenwriting, definitely.
The script was absolutely stunning.
But we should also talk about the media campaign, because the media campaign was insane. Like, even people who don't really know or like comic book films were talking to me about that, and that's really cool. And that one about, you know, not only that, I mean, I was having a whinge about Kanye to Pip the other day online, and we were talking about marketing and all this other stuff. He was defending him and shit. And but Deadpool, like, he was doing trailers about checking your balls for cancer, right? Like that's really good. He made that funny. But do you know what? I had a cancer worry. I did that as a result of Deadpool. I hadn't done that for a while, and I did that, and I actually did find a lump. Like, it was horrible. You're laughing because you are.
I'm not.
You know why? Because it was the night of lizards.
Oh, no. When I get a text, I don't know if I can make it because of my balls.
You did let us all know. But again, that's a worry and a scary thing. But kind of dope that you checked because of...
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I went there and that was kind of funny because I'd gone out for some lunch with a friend. She was giving me, you know... a tale of like some tough stuff she was going through, and I was like, yeah, I found a lump today. She was like, are you trying to story top me here or what? And she was really cool. Nicola, thank you so much. She said, no, we're going to go to a hospital right now. We went there, went straight in and that, and then the doctor had me on a table feeling around my nuts and couldn't find the lump.
Oh, god damn it. I always remember
you just tried to story top it, didn't you?
Looking in my eyes, going, I can't find anything here. And I'm like, no, I did find it.
Keep feeling.
Keep trying. I always remember when my dad, it was around the time that testicular cancer was getting its first big push. That's such a terrible thing, but it was. And I remember my dad texted me or emailing or whatever, me and my brother and my mate Rick for some reason, because we used to go and Millwall, we're all very close. And for some reason, I think me and Rick or me and my brother Ian came up with the theme tune for checking for testicular cancer.
Nice,
and we just kind of, diddle, inspect your gadget. And we thought it was perfect for inspecting your gadget.
I like it,
But yeah, anyway, but it turns out you've not got cancer. So
I don't know.
My balls are fine.
Yeah,
I mean that's
great.
They
are fine. Shoe's got great.
But I mean on that Deadpool campaign as well, the billboards were genius.
Yeah, really
they had
awesome.
Billboards all around LA that had just emojis, and it had a skull, the emoji ship with eyes and a smiley face, and an L, Deadpool, and just things like that they wouldn't Deadpool. Have got away with any other campaign. It's absolutely genius.
Good. And the other one where it was just Ryan Reynolds and the who's the lead actress in that, who's pretty bloody awesome. She was perfect
in Homeland.
I think her name is Jenny McCarthy.
No, she's
I think
not.
That's no, I'm name. Joking. I think that's what I said last time.
We're on comics, and I said I wanted to talk about a comic which you saw in my kitchen earlier.
Yep.
As we came round, there's a comic I've got together recently called The Midnighter.
Yep.
It's funny you say stuck together, because I've read about it and it got a lot of hype, and it's because he's the first openly / aggressively gay superhero.
Oh, really?
And it's fucking brilliant.
Who's the aggressive gay black character in... Kevin Smith film.
Which one?
I don't know.
God.
What, like,
they go to the convention and he kicks
in
right
dogma.
Off.
In Dogma, he's militant. No, he's militant.
It's not Dogma.
It's
not Dogma. It's Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy. He's militant gay. I'd heard about this comic and it's great. And the as a superhero thing, it's pretty cool because he's had this thing where his brain has basically been turned into the most powerful computer. Okay. So any fight situation, he can analyse every action, every a possible action, and respond to it. Any terrorist situation and things like that. But he's so irreverent, and so again, he loves to fuck dudes. He's just really, and it's fucking amazing. It's called The Midnighter, and yeah, I love it. I'm gonna check that out. I accidentally, and I was almost offered it to you earlier, but I thought of this for on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd read about it, and I must have read about it twice, and I accidentally ordered it twice, so I've got a spare copy. Can you think of a competition to give away my spare copy of The Midnight? I could have just sent it back for a refund.
Yeah, can't you just give it to me? No, you can't have it.
Can you think of a competition?
How much did Chrissy's bag of Deadpool pubes weigh? Question
or...
Okay. Oh, dear. Why is Deadpool named Deadpool? Is that too easy?
I don't know that, so that's not too easy. Oh,
come on, man. That is so easy. All right, there we go.
What is your Twitter?
Redshift Rebels.
At Redshift Rebels. Tweet the answer to @RedshiftRebels and the first one to get to Chris.
And I don't want the movie version.
You want the original comic book version?
I want the actual comic
book. Yeah, because in the movie it's because of the Deadpool that's going on, blah, blah, blah. But you want the original version, and don't Google it and cheat.
And we're throwing a t-shirt as well, yeah?
Yeah, I'll throw in a t-shirt.
We'll put in a Redshift t-shirt and we'll get a copy of Midnighter.
And I'll even write "I fucking hate you" on the back of the t-shirt.
Chris will write "I fucking hate you." He will sneak a pube in there somewhere. But that's, to be fair, the case with most purchases from Redshift. He does do all the bagging naked. I don't know if this is going to be anything we want to talk about. At the Oscars.
Yeah, no, I'd like to talk about it. DiCaprio speech, finally winning. Yeah.
I think it was exciting and massive. Let's talk about actually, so Oscars so white, was it the hashtag?
Oh, was this the thing?
Chris Rock up.
Will Smith kicked off, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit about
that. Will Smith and his kid did. Concussion. But the interesting thing was a lot of people were trying to argue, well, maybe there just weren't any good films from black people this year. And that's why it was a controversy, though, because Straight Outta Compton was fucking amazing. Yeah. And either for music or actors or director or screenplay, it should have been in somewhere. And there was films like Dope, and there was numerous other films.
I haven't seen that.
It's amazing. It's there was numerous other films where there was great performances from black actors, there was great direction from black directors, and numerous other things. It's like, well, that's the reason.
So I mentioned earlier, I said I started watching the Idris Elba film. That got some incredible reviews, didn't it?
Where he's the warlord.
I can't think what it's called.
Incidentally, on last week's podcast, I had a Georgina Campbell, who was the first black actress last year to win the BAFTA for Best British Newcomer, I think it was.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Years a Slave.
No, not in 12 Years a Slave. Fucking idiot. In Murdered by My Boyfriend, which is a huge BBC thing. Absolutely amazing. But yeah, anyway, you know, fantastic. But yeah, it is an odd one, right? And again, I agree that there were good films. It wouldn't be a controversy if just there happened to be no good films people in this year. That's fine. I completely think you shouldn't get a pass because of being female or because of being a certain colour. The fact is there was some dope shit this year that should have been considered. But as said, the excitement of Leo finally winning is pretty dope as well. I'm happy with that.
You know what? It's only the fact that I read the press saying like he's finally won an Oscar, and I just thought, huh? I just presumed he had shed loads.
Why hasn't he
had shed loads?
There's a few other actors who've never won.
What did he win it for? Revenant.
A Revenant, which is fucking great.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, man, he should have had shitloads. He's made so many films.
Yeah. Even going back, I remember the first movie I saw him in wasn't one of the ones that ever gets mentioned much, but was Bite the Basketball
Diaries. Amazing film.
That's so dope. So good.
But you go through Basketball Diaries, Gilbert Grape, Sleepers.
Yeah.
A Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Everyone puts Departed in there. Meh, I can take or leave
Departed.
No, but I really enjoyed Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, which is better. Both it is better.
And then there's just
I'm going to throw in one that probably isn't the coolest film. Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can was brilliant film.
It was good.
There's so many, but the thing that excited me was the passing of the torch for how long is he going to get overlooked? Because surely it's over to my co-star in Taboo.
Yeah.
I'm saying co-star. So far I've had about two lines, but co-star Tom Hardy. Because again, it just felt amazing that he was up for supporting actor in that. And man, that guy's been killing it for a long while now. You start to look at it, and you look at Bronson, you look at Inception, you look at Batman Returns, and Dark Knight Returns. Sorry.
What was the thing you done? The TV show, the three part of the Martina Cole thing
was the shit, and that was the first thing I ever saw him on. Did we talk about this last time?
No,
I don't know.
Didn't.
But you need to go and watch the take.
And it convinced me at the time that great acting is being able to do a ridiculous accent and pull it off.
Hello, Maggie.
Yeah.
Hello, Maggie. You're right. And again, like what's his name in Chopper? A Banner.
Eric Banner.
You've
upset your mum.
Oh, mate, you've stepped your old mate Chop Chop.
And Penny's had himself a mischief.
And so many have done it.
Yeah.
Christian Bale in The Fighter and numerous other things where it's just these crazy over-the-top actors that are just... You just fall into it.
Yeah.
And I've never seen any performance from Tom Hardy that I haven't loved and forgotten.
Off the books Tom Hardy story now.
Okay.
That has come between me and him over email. This is real.
Brilliant.
Press record, ladies and gentlemen. I was on tour and I went to see Locke, and Locke blew me the fuck away.
Right.
It's written by Stephen Knight,
shit,
who wrote Peaky Blinders, who wrote Taboo, and it was just amazing. And Tom Hardy plays a Welshman, and some people gave him stick for his Welsh accent. I loved it. And he did an interview, and he was talking about how he based his Welsh accent on a friend of his who's an ex-military guy, blah, 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 and told this whole story that I wanted to base it on a specific Welsh accent and not just do a stereotypical Welsh accent.
Yeah.
And
good.
This article all came out and all that. And then he got an email off this guy to say, you know I'm not Welsh, right? He's not Welsh. He's not fucking Welsh. So it's just he bases so any stick he got for the Welsh accent is kind of legit because he based it on someone who's not Welsh.
Oh,
I loved
brilliant.
It. I was in for it.
Hell, man.
Fucking fool. But again, I emailed Hardy saying because Locke, as you and me for years have kind of we've gone back and forth on low budget film ideas and shit like that. Locke blew me away because it all takes place in a car and that's it. And it blew me away because of that. It instantly made me go, number one, that was an amazing film. Number two, fuck, that's achievable. Like I could make that. I could do that. If I could write a script strong enough, that's filmable and doable. So again, as soon as I walked out of the cinema, I emailed Tom and then got that story, and it was like,
that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
Based on the wrong person. I love that shit. Well, let's start to. I mean, let's talk about a few podcasts as you've listened to a few. Which ones have you listened to?
So I thought the I've listened to pretty much most of them this year.
Yeah.
So I thought the
none
Mira
for the 18 the, months before that, but continue.
Yeah. Well, Pip's a bit still salty about that.
I'm so salty.
The Mira
tipsy
one,
tipsy as well. The Mira
was it was pretty
fucked
up.
I mean, the reaction to that was mind blowing. Mira was, I was paired up with her with via Sport Relief with Housing for Women, which is a great organisation in South London. And Mira was brought over to the UK in the sex trade and was brought over here in sex trafficking. And her telling of her story blew my mind. And it got compared a lot to when I had the refugee special with Ramel, which was last year, so Chris wouldn't have listened to that.
No.
but the thing was, I went into the interview with Ramel, and again, in fact, I should mention that a lot has... That's kind of come back to the highlights recently because we've now the Red Cross have released the album that I wrote a track about Ramel's story.
Robert
Plant, I did a track on it.
Yeah.
It's called the Long Road EP.
That's
you can buy it now. And in the Ramel interview, it's the most nervous I've been before an interview. And this is gonna I've not mentioned this yet, but I thought a lot about what I wore.
Wow,
as a lot of you will know, I wear a lot, like most of my clothes are black and dark. And I thought, I'm talking to this woman who's been through some dark shit. I need to have something bright and light to lighten the mood. So I wore the one like light shirt I've got.
I've not seen you look, honest, I've genuinely not
it's
seen
such
a light
shit
shirt on you
it's
in
such a
20,
shit shirt,
10 years.
And I look like a cunt. And we had to do, and we had to do loads of press for it. So there's all these press photos. I think they're on the Long Road EP with me looking like a twat in my light shirt, just
brilliant.
Looking awful. Hugely embarrassing. But that's kind of how nervous I was about it. I was like, right, I need to make this young lady who's gracing me with her story, I need to make it relaxed in any way, even if it's subconscious.
Yeah.
And it was similar with Mira. And the thing with Ramel was I was very conscious. I hate grief porn. And I've deleted people on Facebook who we all know, actually, because they'll post... I remember a specific time when the guy from the Lost Prophets was on his charges for disgusting stuff. And crazy the fact stuff. Is, we all know what disgusting shit went down. He was doing... He was trying to instigate horrible things. And people were posting court notes of the details of these emails or letters. It's like, you don't need to fucking know the details.
It's not necessary on Facebook.
In my opinion, on that situation, so with Ramel, I was very conscious that when it got to a dark or heavy area, I was like, look, you know, we get it. If you're not comfortable, then we can move on. And she was grateful of that, and we've talked about it since, and it was a positive thing. And the thing that blew me away with Mira was every time I offered that option up with Mira, and she was like, no. I mean, and she was in tears talking about this. Mm. She was like, no, this has to be told. You know, as hard as it is for me to tell,
it's horrific.
As hard as it is for anyone to listen to, she's like, this happened.
And happens.
Yeah, it happened and happens. Therefore, regardless of the discomfort, it's a story that deserves to be told. And that blew me away, man. Seeing a woman there struggling to get through a sentence, which is an odd sentence for me to stutter on. seeing a woman there struggling to get through a sentence, yet saying, no, just give me a minute, I'm going to get through this, because it's an important enough story that this has to be fucking told. Just blew me away, man.
When that started, that story, and she was talking about, well, you know, what she'd be doing, what her opportunities were. There was the dark side of my brain when she said she was going for an interview. Thought worst case scenario, it's this, and then it was that, and it was tragic to listen to that. It was sad. She's such an industrious young lady. Like how strong she's been and how committed she is to living her life now.
I mean, in a society where women are repressed in that way and not encouraged to push forward in such things, so the fact that she was just trying to push forward in a career and do things that most women in that particular society aren't encouraged to do, and then this horrific stuff happens is...
Yeah, it was a really, I think... Yeah, it was a great episode, mate.
And again, I need to kind of just give a shout-out to everyone who supported and pushed that, because the support was huge, the online reaction. And to be honest, weirdly, the only one that's come as close, or there's been two that have come close to that kind of reaction online, and it's been the Stephen Graham one, because he's just a lovely dude.
Yeah, it was good, I enjoyed it.
And a Blind Boy from Rubber Bandits.
Oh, shit, I haven't heard that one.
It's fucking nuts, because, again, everyone, like, our Rubber Bandits are quite funny and quite comical, but he's an intelligent...
Is he the teacher?
I mean, we can't go into... He was adamant he won't talk about anything outside of the carrier bag.
Right.
But if you Google it, he's an intelligent guy. Okay. He's a teacher. He's got other stuff going on. But that was hilarious to see, because so many people, particularly as I posted the Polaroid, which is me with a guy with a plastic bag over his head, and the whole interview, he insists on having it on. Yeah. He said it's an important part of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And you could hear rustling throughout. But one of the most intelligent dudes we've had on the podcast.
It's weird when people are in character like that. I remember a few years ago, I went to the NME Awards.
Yeah.
With James Buckley.
Yeah.
Who you've
done club nights with.
He's a pal of mine. And he said, oh, look, I'm going to the NME Awards. Like, do you want to come with me? And I was like, oh, amazing. Yeah, I'd love to. And... And when we sat down, on our table was Keith Lemon.
Yeah.
And what's his real name?
Lemon, that's it.
It's weird you say that. And but James was like, hello, whatever. Oh, what's his bloody name? It's going to bother me now.
Keep telling the story, I'll Google it.
Right, okay. And and he was like, what? No, it's Keith. And he was like...
I wouldn't have it.
And he just would not come out of character.
Good lads.
And like, it was quite surreal. And he sat down and he introduced, I think it's Emma Bunton's husband, Jade, who was with him.
Yeah.
He introduced him as... this is Joe, this is my boyfriend. And and he did not break character. And it wasn't on stage, it was just us sitting on a round table watching the awards. And James knows him, and yeah. And he would not come out of character. It was
and he just kept him. Again, I love that kind of dedication. It's Lee Francis.
Lee Francis, yeah.
But when I had Rufus Hound on the podcast, I think it was, he talked a lot about. Oh, was it Rufus? I'm sure it was Rufus. Yeah, because of Celebrity Juice.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about Lee Francis and his dedication to that, and a character that you can quite easily turn your nose up at, but also has done some great. Hilarious parodies and satire.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. I mean, we should probably start to round it up as we're getting into the second hour.
Wow.
Have you got anything you need to get into, Chris?
Just want to say...
Are we going to get heavily into some MMA in a minute to round things
up? All right, just want to say, we haven't spoken about, on a sort of global news front yet, Donald Trump.
Yeah, let's talk about Trump.
Because it's been, you know, it's just been nuts. Like, seeing it's like, just
your
watching
hair
this,
isn't a million miles from his at the moment.
It's
going
to be mental, isn't it? watching this thing unfold has just been remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, from people saying, mentioning his running, and how preposterous that sounded as a rational thinking human being.
Shit's got real.
So watching him get as far as he's got has just been... so scary.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a little bit on the Blind Boy episode with the guy from the Rubber Bandits, and the thing I kind of pointed out there was, it's crazy to sit here across the Atlantic and look at a guy who's essentially just a bit of a reality TV star, or has done good on some questions and stuff. Stu's asking Chris to turn the radiator on, and Chris has to understand
in a sort of Shroud style.
I'm letting him know.
It's a little bit weird.
I'll just help you guys out. But yeah, the fact is, it's crazy to look across the Atlantic at this guy who's done a few talk shows, he's done a few comedy shows, and been quite quirky and funny to laugh at, with crazy big blonde hair, suddenly get into a position potentially of power.
Just describe Boris Johnson there.
I was going to say, that's exactly my point. Yeah. When we sit here judging them with Boris fucking Johnson as mayor of London, potentially pushing for a higher
Prime
role.
Minister,
it's the same fucking thing, man. It's ludicrous.
There are some links there, but I mean, you know, Boris Johnson isn't...
A silver spoon
saying,
idiot.
But I mean, he's not an insane racist and misogynistic
racist.
And, you know, has not been... Yeah. But, you know, I've never... No, come on, guys. We have to be careful here because you know, the things Trump has been saying in his rallies, offering for rabble-rousers who he didn't like in the crowd, offering that if people assault them and they get sued, that he'll pay the legal fees... Boris Johnson hasn't said that. And, you know, Boris Johnson has got a dodgy head. He can be a bit of a bumble, but he's also...
Nothing else crazy. Is tight.
He will not pay for that. He might think that. That sort of stuff is like, America, who is your fucking mate? Get him out, because he's embarrassing for you. But the point you just made there is the point that I was drawing a conclusion to, because it's just showing that how miseducated and dumb and placated Americans, you know, there's a huge amount of Americans out there supporting that. And if you watch the interviews with them, there are some fantastic interviews with Trump fans where they read out Hitler quotes and they say, Trump said them. And this guy's like, oh, right, yeah, he doesn't realise he's a Hitler. He goes, yeah, I back that. Then the dude goes, yeah, these are Hitler quotes. He goes, you're lying. And then the reporter's saying, well, I'm not lying. That's why I've set out to do this. I don't believe you. And then he says, no, Hitler wrote them. And the bloke goes, well, don't agree with him. And then the guy goes, well, what happens if Trump said them? And he said, yeah, well, then I'd agree with him.
It's
like,
crazy, isn't
it? How dumb are you?
If that level of stupidity in England... If Sacha Baron Cohen wrote a film of that, you'll be sitting in the cinema pissing your pants.
Yeah.
Because it's as ridiculous as what he does.
And
the thing that always comes to mind here is the legendary Doug Stanhope. I'm a big fan of his comedy. I think he's wonderful. And I remember seeing him in London one time, and he was saying he'd come over, and it was after Obama had got in. And he was like, it's weird coming over here now as an American and not having a Bush to bitch about, not having this big, stupid figure to bitch about. And then he goes, and then I remember that all you British kind of hating on Bush and judging and saying how stupid we are, live in a country with kings and queens and princesses yeah, and yeah, princes yeah. and fucking fairy tale bullshit like that.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
obviously I know you're ironically judging us and saying how stupid we are and mocking us. It's a fucking strong point. Yeah, it's like, we do sit here going, how can you be down with Bush? It's like, how's your fucking fairy tale kings and queens and princesses? Yeah, yeah. You've all celebrated this new prince that's been born. How beautiful. It's like, fucking God, guys. Yeah. I want to talk a bit of MMA. I'm going to pause the podcast. This part two is going to go a bit long, but I really need a wee.
Okay.
So let's pause, and then we're going to get into Mark Hunt and his recent win. We're going to get into everything that's happened since we talked of Ronda, Connor, Holly, all of these people. We'll get into that. So I'm going to pause right now. Right, I had my wee, and we decided that we're going to do a third part as we're getting more drunk, and it's quite entertaining to us. The third part might be a bit short, but...
Entertaining to us. Brilliant.
I'm confident I will remember this part.
We actually, in the gap, we laughed for a solid 20 to 30 seconds on a racist joke I made, so... Positive feelings for part three. So we're going to continue on and on to part three shortly. We're going to... I guess I'll put that up at midnight... on Wednesday night, so the first part would have been midnight on Tuesday, then midday, then midnight. See you in part three. Good fucking luck, mate.
Yeah, man.
You've been listening to Scooby's Picks.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.